The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Hello and welcome into NFL Live. Booger McFarland, Damian Woody, and Jeff Darlington will join us later. I'm Field Yates. We begin with our top story of the day. And on Thursday, the Washington Post published a thorough and expansive story on a toxic workplace culture and sexual harassment allegations with the Washington football franchise related to incidents stemming as far back as 2006. Here are some of the key takeaways from the Washington Post report. 15 women who worked for the team have alleged sexual harassment and verbal abuse. Two front office members, Alex Santos and Richard Mann, along with longtime radio voice Larry Michael, have been accused of harassment. There have been no specific allegations against owner Daniel Snyder. The team has hired a D.C. attorney to review their culture and the allegations of workplace misconduct. Emily Applegate, the only former Washington female employee directly named in the Post report, detailed some of her experiences. From Emily Applegate, it was the most miserable experience of my life. We all tolerated it because we knew if we complained, and they reminded us of this, there were 1,000 people out there who would take our job in a heartbeat. With such a toxic, mood-driven environment and the owner behaving like he does, how could anyone think these women would go to HR? This coming from Julia Payne, former vice president of communications for Washington in 2003. Now, Applegate sat down for an interview with Good Morning America last night. Here is more of what she had to say about her time in Washington.
In my time there, dealt with a lot of verbal harassment, sexually and not sexually. So not only was I being hit on, but I also was being just berated and spoken down to, degraded on a daily basis. I had a friend of mine that worked in a different department, but she was basically getting the same treatment from her direct boss, and we would legit cry in the bathroom.
In a text to ESPN's John Keim, first-year Washington coach Ron Rivera said the culture within the organization would change moving forward. Quote, "Biggest thing is we have to move forward from this and make sure everybody understands we have policies that we will follow and that we will have an open-door policy with no retribution. Plus, my daughter works for the team, and I sure as hell am not going to allow any of this." The NFL then released a statement this morning, quote, "These matters, as reported, are serious, disturbing, and contrary to the NFL's values. Everyone in the NFL has the right to work in an environment free of any and all forms of harassment. Washington has engaged outside counsel to conduct a thorough investigation into these allegations. The club has pledged that it will give its full cooperation to the investigator, and we expect the club and all employees to do so. We will meet with the attorneys upon the conclusion of their investigation and take any action based on the findings." And just a few hours ago, Washington owner Daniel Snyder put out this statement. Again, quote, "The behavior described yesterday in yesterday's Washington Post article has no place in our franchise or society. This story has strengthened my commitment to setting a new culture and standard for our team, a process that began with the hiring of Coach Rivera earlier this year. Beth Wilkinson and her firm are empowered to do a full, unbiased investigation and make any and all requisite recommendations. Upon completion of her work, we will institute new policies and procedures and strengthen our human resources infrastructure to not only avoid these issues in the future, but most importantly, create a team culture that is respectful and inclusive of all." Let's now welcome in one of the authors of the Washington Post piece, Liz Clark. And Liz, let's get back to the roots of this story. How did the reporting on all of this begin for you?
Sure. So with my coworker, Will Hobson, who was just invaluable in the reporting, we started looking into descriptions of sexual harassment, hostile workplace back in the summer of 2018. I've spent 21 years as a sports writer at the Post. 8 of those, I was a beat writer for the team. So I know the culture pretty well, and it was familiar terrain for me. We were not able to get a real critical mass of the young women to either go on the record or speak freely. Some had signed NDAs, legal agreements that said you can't speak disparagingly of the team upon their severance. Some were just afraid of the power of the organization, which is pretty vast, especially if in your 20s. So that's when the conversation started.
You mentioned those non-disclosure agreements that were signed by these female employees of Washington. How much of an obstacle did that prove to be in the reporting of this piece?
You know, it was an obstacle, but it's certainly nothing that I would, in my wildest dreams, try to talk a young person into breaking. You know, there was no pressuring or badgering. They had signed them and they were afraid. I understood that. I think Will did too. But there were women who hadn't signed NDAs. They might have left voluntarily. So they weren't bound in this way, but they were still afraid of retribution, and rightfully so. If this is your first job out of college, second job out of college, you had a bad experience, you still are entitled to say, I worked for a very prestigious NFL team. It ought to be on your resume. You shouldn't have to hide it. And they didn't want to ruffle any feathers. And it's a real power dynamic, whether you're still employed there or not. They had reason to be fearful. So it was hard.
That fear of retribution, as you mentioned, is very legitimate and real. Did you get any sense that although you were able to speak with 15 women who alleged sexual harassment, that maybe these issues are even more pervasive throughout the organization?
Oh, certainly, yes. I mean, I had a sense and suspicion having worked in that building and been around the team. Certainly in the last 24 hours since the story went online, actually it's less than 24 hours, I have received many emails from women who no longer work at the team, either some just saying, thank you, you described my experience, or my experience was worse. You know, you guys haven't scratched the surface. Some from young men who worked at the team and said, you know, it was a toxic workplace. It was terrible. And I feel guilty because I didn't shout down or report when I saw my female coworker being harassed. So no team turns over not only coaches, starting quarterbacks more often than this one under Dan Snyder, just the number of staff people who come and go, the churn is constant. So there are, I can't even imagine the number of former employees, many of whom felt mistreated, underpaid, taken advantage of, and some of those sexually harassed to boot.
How would you characterize the messaging from the team to you? I understand that Dan Snyder was not willing to comment until earlier today throughout this process.
Sure. So Will Hobson, my coworker, is the one who interacted with the team when we were ready to go to the team and to seek comment. The first response I understand was, we don't comment on hearsay. That's hearsay. And then Will went back with a very detailed, unassailable summation of, here's the number of women, here's the number of incidents. They took place here, and it involved this employee, that employee, this employee. You know, we would like your comment. So that was taken seriously, clearly. They didn't tell us, but in a matter of days, two employees were fired. A third resigned. Two of the principals involved had long since left the team, and then things started falling into place. So, you know, you can't really fault what the team is saying and how they're responding on paper and in statements. But, you know, I'm not hearing an apology, a sense of concern from the owner, a regret for the young women. That's not in the statement. And this is a very familiar play in the Redskins playbook, the management playbook. You know, after the cheerleader scandal in 2018, the team announced they would have a very serious internal review of what happened to correct things going forward. When the name issue really got traction, really became at the forefront in the last month, they announced an internal review of the name that has been around for nearly 90 years. So is this review going to lead to meaningful, lasting change? You know, we'll see. I have reason to be skeptical, and, you know, as does anyone who's followed this. I hope so. I hope it does.
Yeah, I think you're right. Many of us do have some skepticism about what happens going forward. Thank you for your time, Liz, and to both you and Will for the incredibly important journalism that you guys published yesterday in The Washington Post.
We appreciate you involving us in the conversation about an important issue. Thank you.
Thank you. Now let's welcome in ESPN NFL reporter Kimberly A. Martin and senior NFL writer for the undefeated Jason Reed. And Kimberly, you get the first crack here. What was your reaction when you read this piece, having previously covered this franchise and being a woman covering football?
Yeah, this is a Washington Post reunion on this show. As somebody who covered the team, not surprising. I've said it all day on our air. It's not at all surprising. Based on my experiences as a woman covering multiple NFL teams and being in lots of locker rooms around lots of coaches and agents and players, it's not surprising. And what saddens me about all this is that I'm not surprised, because when you read this article, it brings a lot of things back. It really does make you take inventory of all of the unwanted advances, all of the comments about you physically, all of the things that you have to push aside just to do the job, to be in a locker room, to be next to Jason or somebody or another man in the locker room and just get through the day. And I don't think enough people realize that within the scope of this, not just Redskins, Washington, former Washington employees, but also journalists who cover the team and have had contact with the team, this is something that is pervasive, but it also extends throughout the league. This is not just, please don't think this is just Washington. This happens in all sorts of businesses, in all sorts of arenas, and that's a problem.
Kimberly, before I get to Jason, I do want to ask you about Dan Snyder's statements, which somehow managed to leave out the word women entirely. What did you make of his remarks today?
You know, as somebody who used to cover this team, I always got the impression that Dan Snyder felt like he never got a fair shake, especially from the Washington Post. And at every turn, Daniel Snyder has proven himself to be disappointing. And I was very disappointed by that statement, because it gives you the impression that culture review, like this is a new thing. We had the cheerleader story, which Liz mentioned, which was written by the New York Times. We had that already. We have the name situation, and we have this Washington Post bombshell. These are things that have happened. There are rumors about this organization for a long time. And Daniel Snyder had an opportunity to not only apologize, to take some accountability in this, and he didn't. He passed the buck as though Ron Rivera can fix everything.
Jason Reed, anybody who follows DC sports knows you and knows your coverage. You've covered the Redskins or Washington Football Club for a long time. Did any of this come as a surprise to you?
No, Phil, not at all. As both Liz and Kimberly previously mentioned, anyone who's been around this team has heard these stories. They've interacted with people who have mentioned things. And I have to tell you that years ago, I got a tip about something right in this lane, and I followed up. The person wound up not wanting to speak, and the reporting did not take me where the reporting took Will and Liz. Nothing but props to them for the fabulous, phenomenal work they did. But, you know, you talk about Daniel Snyder, and I remember the line from Remember the Titans. You know, attitude reflects leadership. And what we have here is a complete, total failure of leadership. The man has owned the team since 1999. These things have been allowed to happen in that organization throughout his tenure as owner. And, you know, I want to be clear. I'm not saying he's happy today. I mean, who in their right mind would countenance this type of behavior? But it's a complete failure of leadership that these things were allowed to happen throughout his watch. And then after the Washington Post went to him, this is what he does? This is the type of statement and response? He should have been out there yesterday when Ron Rivera was talking and falling on the sword and saying, this is my fault, the buck stops with me, and the change will come. But that did not occur.
Jason, there is a saying, actions speak louder than words, and I feel like it's apropos right now. But should we really expect anything to change despite the statements that have been made so far by Washington?
Well, let me tell you, Phil, this is why I think things will change. Roger Goodell has made it clear, and you can question his motives, but he's made it clear that the NFL wants to be a change agent with racism. We know where we are in the environment with the Me Too movement. Now, he has said these things can no longer continue. So it is my belief that the league is going to take every conceivable action it can to make sure what happened in Washington does not continue. But here's what I want to see, Field. After this law firm does this investigation, will the league and the Redskins allow the law firm to put out a public report on what happened here? And if they don't, Will the NFL then launch an investigation into what is happening? Because we need complete transparency. When 15 people, 15 women, say that not only did these things occur, but they did not feel empowered to go to anyone to talk about it, this is a stain against the whole league. It's a stain against the Redskins, excuse me, the Washington NFL franchise, no doubt about that. But it's a stain against the whole league, and this cannot be allowed to continue.
Well said by both of you. We'll have plenty more coverage of this story throughout NFL Live today. And, of course, as it continues to unfold with more statements and comments and other information that is received.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, new on NFL Live from Adam Schefter. Bengals wide receiver A.J. Green signed his franchise tender today. That, of course, means he will now report with the rest of the team to camp whenever that is. And speaking of, an update on the NFLPA call from our Dan Graziano. D'Maurice Smith, the executive director, said the league has made the decision that they want to start training camp on time. The role of the union is to hold them accountable on how to make sure it's safe to open camp now. He continued, to engage in two games where players would be flying all over the country and then engaging with each other to work, and to do that prior to the season doesn't increase the likelihood of starting and finishing the season on time. An NFLPA database shows that 72 NFL players were known to have tested positive over the last several months for COVID-19 as of today, Friday, July 17th. The question now becomes, with training camp and the return of the season quickly approaching, how quickly do players and teams need to prepare? J.J. Watt took to Twitter on Thursday afternoon and said, quote, in the interest of having everyone on the same page in terms of what we know and don't know at this time, here are a few things I've learned being on four NFLPA calls in the last 2 weeks with hundreds of other players. Keep in mind, our rookies are scheduled to report in 48 hours. Here's what we know and don't know. We want to play. We want to be as safe as possible. We have not received a single valid emergency response plan from any team of the league. We don't know if there are preseason games or not. We don't know if there will be daily testing. We don't know how a potential positive COVID test would affect contracts, roster spots, etc. Nothing has been agreed upon regarding what training camp will actually look like and how the ramp-up period will work. We want to play. Adam Schefter took this one step further yesterday, reporting that Texans have been given the go-ahead to start bringing rookies into their training facility on Monday, July 20th for COVID testing and then the onboarding process, citing sources. More from ESPN Giants reporter Jordan Ronan this morning. Despite uncertainty on start dates, Giants coaches are returning to New Jersey in preparation for camp. They've been scattered throughout the country since the start of the pandemic. Coaches are scheduled to receive COVID tests today and be tested regularly. They won't have to self-quarantine. Coaches and players are exempt from New Jersey's 14-day self-quarantine advisory if come from COVID hotspots because it's considered, quote, business travel. All right, we're joined now by NFL insider Jeff Darlington. And Jeff, what more can you add to the NFL's plans to report to training camp?
All right, Sophia, let's go back to what you were just talking about with J.J. Watt's tweet. Now, that's actually a reference to a call on Wednesday that occurred between the NFLPA and 50 top of the highest profile players. So your big time quarterbacks and your big names, whether it be Julian Edelman or J.J. Watt, those kind of guys are on this call. And essentially, Watt was one of the most vocal people, I'm told, on that call, asking questions of the NFLPA and not necessarily getting all of the answers he was looking for. Now, that's not necessarily a shot at the PA, but it does explain some of the communication lapses that are occurring between the NFL, the PA, and then the players. Now, the question is, what becomes of all that? The NFL, as you said, is charging forward, right? So the question becomes, if the NFLPA does have concerns, which D'Maurice Smith has essentially said on a call that he is, I think, currently holding with reporters, if they do have concerns, the question is, what power do they have to change anything? It doesn't feel like much. These are contractually obligated players to their contracts that will have to report. But you're starting to see some groundswell. J.J. Watt speaking out, Patrick Mahomes speaking out, looking for clarity. If the NFL can deliver that clarity and then they can reach financial agreements, I think that we do see training camp start on time. If not, and there is a groundswell from players, I could see easily this turning into something much more dramatic that winds up stalling the start of camp.
Have you started to sense that groundswell from canvassing players at all, whether it's interacting with them directly or just what you've seen on social media?
A little bit. I think when you hear from guys like Mahomes, that's a big step. But I think it's a very difficult process because there are a lot of players who are like, hey, the younger guys especially that I've heard from are essentially like, hey, we got to go forward, man. I got to make this roster. They want, by the way, there's a contingency of young players that want preseason games because they want to be able to prove that they can make a roster. So it is a very complicated measure. I think that we'll wind up seeing training camp start close to on time, if not on time. I just think that there is a lot of clarity that needs to be delivered to players in the next 48 hours to a week.
Yeah, and it's hard to install uniform policies that make everybody happy with a constituency of nearly 3,000 players. So we've got our guys, Damian Woody, Booger McFarland here to provide some player perspective. And I'll start with you, Damian. What do you make of the developments in these conversations and how close we are to having players reporting to training camp without a concrete plan right now in place?
Well, I think the NFL is really dropping the ball on this situation, considering you look at the other three sports leagues, they were like in their seasons and they were dealing with this pandemic. That's one thing, but the NFL was not in season. You know, it's been the offseason. So the NFL has had plenty of time to work out the logistics of everything before we head to training camp. And here we are on July 17th, the Houston Texans report on the 20th, and we still have basic questions that need to be answered. These guys don't even know if they're getting tested daily. Like, how is that even possible? We're in the middle of a pandemic, and the players don't even know if they're getting tested or not on a daily basis. I mean, there's so many other questions. If guys are going to get paid, what if somebody, you know, what's the quarantine protocol if a guy tests positive, you know, in a certain position room? There's just so many questions than answers right now. I'm real skeptical about everything starting on time like the NFL is saying it is.
Well, Damon, I would just add to what you said, you know, from a skepticism standpoint, think about this. As much as all these prominent players are thinking about the protocols and the testing and the COVID and their families, the NFL players are not going to be in a bubble. These players are going to have to, especially after training camp, they're not going to be in a bubble. They're going to have to go and interact with their families. And so you're telling me that I'm supposed to put essentially life and death and my health on one side of my mind, and also I got to think about the job on the other. I think the focus of the players is not going to be fully on their job. It's not going to be fully on the field. And to me, that's something you can't have when you're trying to play this sport at the highest level. I think it's been a abject failure that the NFL and the PA has had months, not weeks, not days. They've had months to know that July 28th was coming. And at some point, players are going to be ready to report to camp. And the fact that we're this late in the game and they don't have a plan, and I'm not saying it has to be the final plan, but if you don't have a plan and then you can go back and tweak it, where are you going to start at? And I just think it's a failure to not have something in place. It doesn't have to be the final draft. Where's your rough draft of how we're going to do it? Are we testing three times a week? Are we testing every day? It doesn't have to be 100% perfect, but I think the players, we all want a plan and we can go back and tweak it. But to come down to basically the final few days right before training camp, and for Mahomes and Watt and Richard Sherman and all the prominent voices in this league to say, well, we really don't know what we're doing, that's a failure on both parts.
To think back to March 11th, Booger, we were all saying at least the NFL has 6 months to figure it out, but time is ticking rapidly.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Today we continue our annual 5-in, 5-out series. 22 of the last 24 seasons, at least 5 teams have made the playoffs that did not qualify the year before. Last year it was 5 teams that crawled from early vacation into the big dance, and the year before it was 7. 19 ESPN analysts and reporters were surveyed, and these were our results. Let's start with the 5 teams we revealed as out yesterday. The Texans received the most votes with 16. Houston won the AFC South for the second straight season last year, but traded away star receiver DeAndre Hopkins. The Vikings received the second most votes with 13. Minnesota earned a wild card spot with a 10-6 record last season, but traded Stephon Diggs to the Bills this offseason. The Titans are keeping Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry, but they still received 12 votes. Tennessee reached the AFC Championship game last season as the sixth seed in the conference. Now, the Eagles have reached the playoff in three straight seasons, including winning the NFC East in 2019. Philadelphia received the fourth most votes, however, with 11. And the Bills are the last of the five teams out, receiving 8 votes. Buffalo has not made back-to-back postseason appearances since 1998 to 99. So time now for our five in, five teams that may find themselves in the playoff hunt this season. We'll start with a team that was unanimous. All 19 votes, the Buccaneers, they added. Tom Brady, you may have heard about that, and Rob Gronkowski this season. Booger, you live in Tampa. Do you agree that the Bucs could make a big run in 2020?
Absolutely, Phil. I mean, this was an easy one to pick right here. You look at everything that they did last year, and that's with all the turnovers from Jameis Winston. We know the weapons on the outside with Evans and Godwin and Brady and Howard. You add in Rob Gronkowski from that standpoint, and you bring in the greatest quarterback of all time in Tom Brady. From an offensive standpoint, this team could be a juggernaut. And defensively, they were sneaky pretty good toward the end of last season. So I think the sky's the limit for the Buccaneers. Now, they are going to struggle, I think, a little bit with chemistry because of the pandemic and not being able to get together. But by all accounts, the Buccaneers should absolutely be loaded and have a dynamic season, Phil.
All right, another unanimous choice here was the Cowboys. Dak Prescott didn't get his long-term deal. But, Jeff, do you agree with the Cowboys sneaking into the playoffs?
I do, Field. I think Dak Prescott's going to be juiced up. So is Ezekiel Elliott coming in healthy. Mike McCarthy, I think, will add some vibe to this. Yeah, I think they are set up. My big concern for the Cowboys is the division itself. You have to, in my opinion, win the division to make the playoffs, given everything that else is happening for the wild cards, whether it's the Seahawks, the 49ers, and the Rams vying for that spot. The Bucks and the Saints, by the way, vying for potential wild card spots. It will be very difficult in that division to get a wild card spot. So I think you have to win the division. That being said, between the Eagles and the Cowboys, I do think the Cowboys have a really good shot.
All right, so two of our teams that were out were from the AFC South, which means that one of our team that's in is from the AFC South as well. 18 votes for the Colts. Phillip Rivers is the new star in town. Damian, you on board with the Colts making the postseason this year?
I am, man. I know Phillip Rivers had the turnover issue last year. But I think Phillip Rivers in a situation in Indianapolis where he's playing behind arguably the best offensive line in football with the Colts. I love what the Colts did in the offseason as far as drafting Jonathan Taylor to go with Marlon Mack. You know they're going to run the football, have T.Y. Hilton, and they drafted Michael Pittman out of USC at the wide receiver position. And then they go out and traded for DeForest Buckner to add another playmaker to that front four. So when I look at the AFC South, I know the Tennessee Titans went to the AFC Championship game, but I think this division is wide open. I think the Indianapolis Colts are going to find their way in somehow.
Okay, the Steelers are our fourth team coming in, and Big Ben is coming back from that injury last year. Booger, do you think the Steelers are playoff bound?
Listen, they were almost in the playoffs with guys named Mason Rudolph and Duck Hodges. Now you bring back Ben Roethlisberger, a surefire Hall of Fame quarterback. You draft Chase Claypool to add to Juju Smith-Schuster from a wide receiver standpoint to go with Connor. The offense is going to be really, really good. But more important than anything, you know the reason why I like the Steelers is because of the guy in charge, and that's Mike Tomlin. You know, one of the more underrated coaches, not in the league now, but of all time. Mike Tomlin has done an outstanding job in Pittsburgh through very adverse situations year in and year out. Bill Belichick may be the GOAT, but when you look at what Mike Tomlin has done, he deserves a lot of accolades, and you give him Ben Roethlisberger back this year, Mike Tomlin and the Steelers, postseason, book it.
All right, there you go. Book it. Our fifth team is the Broncos. And, Jeff, they have a lot of faith in Drew Lock. Are they a lock to make the playoffs?
So I don't think so. For John Elway, I hope he finally got the quarterback thing right with Drew Lock. It feels like it's making good progress. The problem here, again, it's kind of what I was just saying about the Cowboys. It's about the division and the conference and getting that wild card, because quite frankly, in this division. You got to think that the Chiefs are the team that winds up winning the division, and you got to rely on the wild card. And if you look around, it becomes very difficult, given the parity of this league, to do that. They are in a position to potentially get it. There is some weakness when it comes to some of these other divisions. I just think it's going to be difficult. I just don't know that the Broncos are quite there yet to vie for that spot.
All right, fair enough. The Browns have the longest active playoff drought in the NFL right now, for those that were asking.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Returning to our top story of the day with some of the key takeaways from the Washington Post report. 15 women who worked for the team have alleged sexual harassment and verbal abuse. Two front office members, Alex Santos and Richard Mann, along with longtime radio voice Larry Michael, have been accused of harassment. There have been no specific allegations against owner Daniel Snyder. The team has hired a D.C. attorney to review their culture of and the allegations of workplace misconduct. Jeff, I'll start with you. And what are the possible ramifications or punishments you could foresee as a result of this?
Well, look, the NFL doesn't have a whole lot of precedent when it comes to cultural issues within the organization. Certainly, we've seen the Saints and the Patriots become victims of the NFL's punishments. Victim, probably not the right word there. But when it comes to this situation, the only real precedent we can look at is the Carolina Panthers and what happened with Jerry Richardson. The one caveat that I think is very important to make, though, is that Dan Snyder is not the one being accused of harassment in this situation. So while it is very clear that there are some real issues within the organization that need to get fixed, the punishment aspect from the NFL gets very complicated, and the precedent really isn't all that much right now. So I just think that we need to be careful about making the comparison to, say, a team like the Panthers just because it's the only one. This is a complicated one. The NFL, though, has made clear in their statement that they do plan to act accordingly based on what the investigation of the Washington organization reveals. Again, though, I'll go back to an earlier comment. I think it was either Booger or Damian talking about how that is not an independent investigation. It is a firm that is hired by Dan Snyder to conduct this investigation. So it'll be interesting more to see how the NFL handles that aspect of it.
Booger, no coaches were implicated in this story, and they're really the ones that spend their time with the players day to day. What reaction would you expect a Washington player to have upon reading this piece?
Well, I'm sure their family members and people that they know will ask them questions. Have you ever seen anything? Have you ever heard anything? But from a standpoint of what I've read, this occurred more scouting on the business side. Players don't necessarily interact with that part of the organization a ton. So players will probably be more apt to know more about the actual name change than they would be what's going on with the Washington Post article. And to Jeff's point, just about the situation in entirety, what I alluded to is this, is that independent firm that's investigating the Washington Redskins is still going to be paid by them. If you really want to make it an independent investigation, Roger Goodell, the NFL, because the Redskins are part of the NFL, which is comprised of 32 teams. They are part of the Shield. Roger's job is always to protect the owners and protect the Shield. So if you really want to be transparent, you really want to be independent, the investigation should come from New York, from 345 Park Avenue, should be supervised by Roger Goodell. You go in, you get carte blanche, you interview whoever you need to, then you come back and you report. I think that solves a couple of issues. One, whatever happens and whatever comes out of that investigation, we would be more apt to believe. And two, I think from a transparency standpoint, Daniel Snyder would actually help himself if he allowed Roger Goodell to handle this, because he doesn't have a great history in that town of stepping forward and doing things, quote unquote, the right way. It took him way too long to come out and make a statement. So I think if you let the NFL handle the investigation, it will solve a lot of the issues as far as transparency and probably take a little bit of the heat, whether it's justly due or not, off of Daniel Snyder.
Well said there, Booger. And Damian, we've seen over the past few months the influence that players can have with their platform. If you were a player on this team, would you feel a responsibility now to address the story, opine on it? Can you make an impact here if you are a Washington player?
Well, I think Booger alluded to it with what he was talking about, because a lot of this stuff happened on the side of the football team operation that the players don't really deal with. I think players can speak to generalities as far as how you're supposed to treat others, the decorum that you're supposed to have within the organization to make sure everyone is treated in a professional manner. But the issues at hand in the Washington Post article, those are issues that, quite frankly, are people on the other side of the building, not necessarily in the football operations. But, you know, there might be certain guys in certain situations, guys who are, quote unquote, the face of the franchise that might want to speak to, you know, just how they view the franchise, you know, their feelings on it and what they would like to see done moving forward. But I will guarantee you 99% of the players out there, including myself, you know, we're just concentrating on playing the games and conducting ourselves in our own best way.
Yeah, a lot on the plates right now, the players, to get ready for training camp, of course.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.